Live from the hills of Westwood, this is Long Story Short, the Daily Bruins weekly news and culture talk show on UCLAradio.com. I'm Mariana Vega, and I'm a fourth-year student. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, hey, UCLA. Happy New Year, and welcome back. I'm Sid Shaw.
And I'm Maral Eric. It's 6 p.m., and you're listening to Long Story Short on UCLAradio.com. Also, follow us on Twitter, at Daily Bruin Radio, and check out our Daily Bruin Radio Facebook page to check out all our stories and interviews.
So, Maral, we're in 2014 now.
Yes, we
are. How was your New Year's? What did you do for break?
It was awesome. I was in Cancun for 2 weeks.
I can see the tan.
Yes.
Maral is pretty tan right here in the studio.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a nice escape from reality, but my flight home was really scary and turbulent, and I came home to a broken, rotten fridge, so that was not fun.
That sucks.
Yeah, what did you do?
Well, I actually had a really cool Christmas break. I spent the break constructing a rainwater harvester system in West Africa. Yeah, it was fun. But that, you know, that's for another time. That's when we catch up maybe some other day. But let's back to the show. On Long Story Short, we don't mess around. From science and health to arts and politics, local news and campus buzz to social life and dating, we're here to talk about it all. That being said, we've got an exciting show tonight.
To start off the show, Daily Bruin opinion columnist Maya Ferdman will join us in the studio to give us a breakdown of the American Studies Association's boycott of Israeli academia, the response of UC leaders, and her opinion about it.
Followed by Neelam Michelot, who will talk to us about how she spent her winter break recording an album.
Then we wrap up with some daily routines from famous writers and New Year's resolutions from students. Let's listen to the serious and silly resolutions and explore how Bruins are creating a daily routine for this winter quarter.
So our broadcast producer, Christiana, has an obsession with the new Disney film, Frozen, which was released during Thanksgiving. Although Southern California is the farthest thing from being quote-unquote frozen right now, she thought we'd warm up with the show with a song from the movie.
She asked a couple of students from the music department to create their own remix of the opening musical number, Voili. Fun fact, this was actually recorded in the Schoenberg Music Building's organ studio. Here's second-year ethnomusicology student May Claire LaPlante, second-year organ performance student Jill Casaboom, fourth-year English student Aaron Sterling, and alumnus Jose Ruiz singing Voili.
Na 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 hey ya na ah ya na na hey ya na ya nuwa ah na hey nuwa na.
The American Studies Association announced a resolution to boycott Israeli academic institutions to support Palestinian interests. The organization said its aim was to bring attention to violations of academic freedom within Israeli-occupied Palestinian territory. UC President Janet Napolitano, UCLA Chancellor Jean Block, and leaders of several other universities claim the boycott threatens academic freedom.
Tonight in the studio, we have Daily Bruin opinion columnist Maya Ferdman here to give us more background on the situation. Maya wrote a column about how the American Studies Association could better address these issues. Her column will be featured in the Daily Bruin tomorrow. Hey, Maya, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Hey, could you explain the different responses to this boycott and who was it for or against?
Sure. Well, the American Studies Association essentially passed this boycott aligned with the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel in order to protest the lack of academic freedom in the Palestinian territories as a result of Israeli occupation. So their main motivation was essentially to protest that, to bring awareness to it, and to sort of promote a nonviolent means of protest. And the people against it, which is over 100 university presidents, basically say that it's a violation of academic freedom.
All right, and so the association was hit by a torrent of censures after the organization released their resolution. How has the association responded to these reactions?
Well, the association has responded a little bit defensively. The president came out with an op-ed essentially saying that they stand by this resolution, that it's a nonviolent means of protest, that the Palestinians deserve academic freedom, and that it's not a violation of academic freedom in any way to boycott Israel, Israeli institutions. They also say that in terms of some of the criticism, that they are not targeting individual Israeli academics. Instead, they're targeting the institution as a whole because it's a party of state politics. So that's one of their main defenses to a lot of the criticism they've been receiving.
Okay, so I know that tomorrow you're coming out with your own column on this subject, and you've written in your column that perhaps the American Studies Association would have better served its own goals by calling upon universities to acknowledge and address the lack of academic freedom in the occupied Palestinian territories. What's your opinion? And what I mean to say by that is, what other form of resolution could they have found, like, instead of using boycott?
Well, personally, I don't think boycott is very productive because it takes the conversation away from the actual violations of academic freedom that the Palestinians suffer, essentially. And so a more productive form of protest of these violations would be to, like I say in the column, to ask universities to acknowledge those violations instead of asking universities to further limit academic freedom by boycotting Israeli institutions. So instead of trying to add restrictions to encourage more cooperation, collaboration with Palestinian universities, is a more positive way of approaching the situation than actually denying legitimacy and denying the exchange of ideas with Israeli institutions.
So it sounds like, from what you're saying, this has been quite an important issue. So I was just wondering, what can we expect in the upcoming weeks from the association? I guess, in other words, what are some resources our audience members can read or listen to for a better understanding and better updates of what exactly is going on?
Well, the association itself is probably going to stand by this resolution, and maybe there will be other associations that will follow its lead, maybe not, because of the huge backlash that the American Studies Association has received. I doubt a lot of associations are going to be very quick to follow their lead, but you never know. The Native American Studies Association, as well as the Asian American Studies Association, have come out in support of the boycott, so you never know what's going to happen next. Some resources to keep looking. Well, there's been op-eds in almost every major American newspaper and Israeli newspaper. You can look at the LA Times, you can look at Haaretz, which is a major Israeli newspaper, and you can also look at the Jewish Journal. Actually, two of our UCLA history professors, Professor David Myers and Professor Robin Kelly, have come out and sort of run a pro and con op-ed piece about the academic boycott.
All right. Thank you, Maya, for coming to the studio and shedding light on the issue. If you listeners do have questions or comments for Maya, feel free to email her at mferdman@media.ucla.edu or tweet her at Maya Ferdman. And also, please do check out the column tomorrow if you guys want to know more on the issue. Thanks so much, Maya.
Thank you.
Whether it was vacationing, catching up on Netflix, or sleeping away the stress of fall quarter, many UCLA students spent their winter breaks rejuvenating and relaxing. However, others, like fourth-year communication studies student Neela Mikolo, had different plans. We have Mikolo live in the studio here with us to tell us about how she used this winter break to take her first major step into her dreams of a music career. Hit it, Neela. Hey, supposed to pull down, but all
as you reach her with your smile. It's suddenly catching mine as we fall down gently in this sweet surrender. Never felt better than this. The only gravity I need is your lips on my lips. Sweet surrender. Never letting go of your kiss, 'cause there's nothing better than your lips on my lips.
Neelam playing her original piece, Sweet Surrender. Thanks, Neelam, and welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, of course.
So, you spent this past winter break recording some music. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, I've just been more inspired, and my music was kind of on hold once I got into UCLA. But over the summer, I wrote a ton of songs, and I just really felt inspired, and I met with a good friend of mine named Wade Fitzgerald, and he has just been so helpful through this whole thing. He introduced me to Hybrid Studios in Orange County. They're a great recording studio. So I worked with Wade, and then we went in the studio, and there was a couple songs that we both really wanted to work on, fell in love with. Sweet Surrender is actually a song that I recently wrote. We didn't even plan to record it, but I'm still not done recording, so I'm kind of bugging him on this song. I'm like, I really think we should do this one. So it's been fun.
Wow, that's awesome. It was break. So what did your schedule look like? How many hours did you put into recording the album?
Recording is, I guess, I spent back-to-back a couple of days, like eight-hour days, 10-hour days in the studio.
Wow.
So, but it was fun. The time goes by fast, you know, when you're so involved in what you're doing and you're passionate about what you're doing, you don't even think about it. So, yeah, it was really awesome. It was just a lot of hard work outside of the studio, too, just planning and getting everything right so that when we go into the studio, we can really make the most of our time. And, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't feel like work when you're actually making awesome music, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, no, I can definitely hear the dedication. That sounded amazing.
Thank you.
So I have to ask, do you write your own music? I mean, I know you mentioned that you were writing, but so can you like tell us about this process and how did this song come up in particular?
Okay, yeah. Yes, I do write all my own music. I take a lot of pride in that. And the process, I guess, I just, one day I was kind of going through, I was going through a writer's like dry spell, I guess. And I couldn't pick up the guitar. I couldn't even look at it. And then over the summer, I just felt really inspired. I forced myself through one song. It wasn't the best song, but after forcing myself through that first song, I just kept writing and writing. And even after class, I would go back home and just pick up my guitar, play the piano, and the songs would just come to me. It was just, it's just weird when you go through a period of inspiration. So that was really cool. A lot of my songs, my original, when I first started writing, were all stemmed from heartbreak. I feel like those are the easiest to write about. You know, you have a lot of emotion built up. But but then a couple people, a lot of my close friends commented, you know, all your songs are about heartbreak. Do you have any happy songs? So that's actually how Sweet Surrender came about, was a lot of my friends were joking to me, like, oh, you sound like Adele, where she's just, like, bashing on all these guys. And I'm like,
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, like Taylor Swift. So I was like, you know what? You're right. Maybe I should sneak in a happy one there. So Sweet Surrender is, you know, a love song for everybody who's, you know, going through that sweet period in their life. So that's what inspired that song.
So you were saying that, you know, you recently got the inspiration to write a lot. And also before that, you know, your music was on hold during during when you started college. Mm-hmm. So when did this epiphany come to you that, oh, you know, this is what I want to start writing? Or, you know, what was that like for you?
Yeah, I think what it was I saw a lot of, you know, one of my best friends is a musician and artist, and she was really pursuing her career. And just a lot of people around me that I was friends with or that I knew through mutual friends, I saw them pursuing their music careers and just going for it and having fun. And I missed that. I used to be in a band, an all-girl band, and just, you know, working in the studio, being a part of something and really just having that creative drive, I missed, you know, working on that every single day. And I think seeing that gave me motivation, seeing how, you know, I kind of, you know, once the band fell apart, UCLA, I was transferring to UCLA, so it was good timing to forget about music and forget about the band. And it was kind of, it wasn't the greatest ending to the band, so I think I just, you know, pushed it aside and said, you know, it's not meant to be. I need to just, you know, focus on school. And then, you know, over time, seeing people following their dreams and really doing what they love, it really inspired me and pushed me to go in that direction. So I think that's what really got me going.
Do you ever change up your music? Do you go from the guitar to a piano maybe? Like a little, do you change from your softcore side maybe?
Definitely, definitely. I originally started writing songs on the guitar, and the minute I start, you know, writing on a piano and a guitar has two different feelings, and you get like completely different songs from it. So it really, you know, pushed my music in a different direction, and I've written some of my best songs on the piano. So really thankful for that. So that's really cool.
Awesome. Awesome.
And just one last thing, and then we're going to have to wrap it up. But have you thought about what steps you want to take at the end of this year after you graduate? I mean, it sounds like you're really inspired. Like, what are you going to do from here?
Yeah, definitely. Well, since I have been in the studio, I'm going to be releasing an EP hopefully by the end of this month, if not in February. And then I'll be playing a couple small shows here and there in the local Orange County area and Los Angeles area. And then just taking it from there. You know, with school and graduation coming up, got to kind of focus on that. But hopefully after graduation, I'll be able to kick it into full gear, maybe record some more stuff and perform at some bigger venues. So we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Well, we'll be sure to keep an eye out for your EP. Thanks so much for coming in today, Neelam.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks.
Best of luck with everything. I'm Meral Eric.
And I'm Sid Shah. So we always end the year with a promise to ourselves for improving in the year ahead. Resolutions are blank pages with which we write a new year. But let's change that up a bit.
So we asked fellow Bruins on Bruin Walk and around Ackerman Union about some of their resolutions. Some of them were silly.
My name's Dating Song. It can be both silly and serious. I need to get a boyfriend.
My name is BJ. I'm a psych major. I'm a third year. I guess I plan on studying more. Another New Year's resolution, I guess, would be to talk to more people or talk to more girls. by, and how I will do that is by, I don't know, approaching them.
While others had slightly more serious resolutions.
Nigel Thornton, I'm a third year, and I just want to get my band up and running. Honestly, because everyone's a flake, especially drummers, but I love them anyway.
Hi, I'm Steve O, and I'm a fourth-year student, and my major is electrical engineering. For my New Year's resolution, I want to work out more because I kind of had most of my time spent studying last quarter. So this year, I would like to work out more if I have time.
My name is Justin Correa, and I'm a fourth-year English major. So for me, I think New Year's resolutions are not something that I follow very much because I believe in just changing constantly and striving to better myself. So what that looks like for me is just centering my days around spiritually growing. Like specifically, I just try to read the Bible and grow in my faith and stuff. And I feel like that is what's constantly changing me. So I don't really limit it to a specific day.
Hi, I'm Sienna Moffitt and I'm a sophomore and I'm a DESMA major. And okay, so my New Year's resolution this year is I'm not drinking anything besides water and tea bag tea and maybe black coffee.
And then many didn't even have a resolution at all.
My name is Alex Stein. I am a physics grad student, second year. I didn't make any New Year's resolutions this year, and I don't have a reason why.
This is Nolan Werner speaking, and I am a sophomore, and I am a civil engineering major. And my New Year's resolution is always to not have a New Year's resolution, because I feel like people just always fail them and end up not following through with what they have set as their goal, and then it just makes them feel bad about themselves. So I just always don't have any New Year's resolutions.
My name is Nick Searle. I'm a fourth year physics major. I didn't make a New Year's resolution this year, mostly because I don't care that much, and also because there's not much to improve. No.
You've been listening to Long Story Short, the Daily Bruins weekly news and culture talk show on UCLAradio.com. Don't forget to check us out and like us on the Daily Bruin Radio Facebook page or follow us on Twitter at Daily Bruin Radio. The show is also available as a podcast on iTunes under Daily Bruin Radio.
Special thanks to our guests, Nila Michelot, McClaire LaPlante, and Jill Casaboom. Also thanks to our broadcast producers, Christiana Cabal, and our radio director, Bianca Brosis, and our sound engineer, Hannah Jacobs.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and good luck finding a spot at the gym this week.
This is Sid Shaw signing off. Welcome to 2014, everyone, and always remember to keep it classy, UCLA.